get started here, I want to share with you this article that I was reading. It was an article from National Geographic. It was about, let me get this name right, geomorphologists. Anybody know what a geomorphologist? If we break down the different parts of that word, we could probably figure out, right? Yeah, something about the world specifically. It's the study, right? We know if there's an ology part of the word, that's the study of, and it's geo, there's some kind of rock or earth. So geomorphologist, morph, what does that mean? Change. It's the study of how Earth's surface forms and changes. Makes sense, right? So this was about these geomorphologists studying the formation of something very specific in the world. It was the study of the formation of waterfalls. How do waterfalls form? That's what this article is all about. And it went on to describe that the long-held belief has been what? This doesn't take, you know, scholars to figure out. How do most of us probably believe that waterfalls form? Erosion by an external force is what this article talks. Usually they're, you know, earthquake or different rocks falling or shifting of the surface. Something external happens to this body of water that causes a waterfall to form. But this study, this article was all about that there's been studies and experiments that would suggest maybe something different. I'm like, you know, what do you mean? So how can waterfalls be formed differently than that, right? So I was reading through this article, and this is what it says. This little excerpt from that article. Until now, scientists largely reckoned that waterfall formation needed some type of external trigger acting on a river. Some waterfall forming processes could be fast, like an earthquake shifting blocks of land to create a step over which water can fall. That's what most of us would say. Others could be glacially slow, like sea level changes or even different types of rock eroding away at different speeds. However, the new work concludes that a dramatic change in the rock or external force isn't always necessary to create these dizzying cascades. Instead, the researchers suggest that a river's turbulence alone, this is the part that they're discovering, that the river's turbulence alone is enough to carve steep pitches in a uniform bed of rock, spontaneously forming a waterfall. What does that tell us? You're like, oh, I don't know, Nick. What is the point of all this? The thought behind this study is this, that water alone is thought to have the power to drastically change the landscape of the river itself. Catch that? That the water of that river has the power to drastically change the river itself by creating its own waterfalls. The water has this power. It says this uniform piece of rock. So that means a flat rock. And they were actually, you think, well, how did they come to do this? Well, they did experiments on this polyurethane pink plastic, they said. It's like this, they compared it to the stuff that you put in floral arrangements, like that foam stuff. They had this big, long sheet of this. And what they did was they took this water at a specific speed and they mixed in this sediment, you know, these particles, rock particles, into this water, and they ran that water mixture over that piece of plastic. And you know what they discovered? They discovered after they did that, they noticed pools in different canals and different waterfalls formed in that piece of plastic just by doing that. Again, what does all this have to do with anything? My thought is this, that our thoughts, what we think about is like the river. What we think about is like the river. Our thoughts have the power to carve, to form, and transform not an entire river, but our entire life. What we think about is powerful. The scriptures are filled with this truth. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, Paul's letter to the Romans, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." God wants, did you catch that? What does God want to do? God wants to transform you into a new person. God wants to do that. Now, a lot of times we think, well, what does that actually mean? Does it just mean a better version of ourselves? No. No. God wants to transform you into a completely new creation, a new person. We mentioned this in the past several weeks, that your purpose and calling in life is this: to be and become who you were created and called to be and become. Did you catch that? It's not a typo on my part. Your purpose and calling, what you were created and called to do and to be and become, is a new person. To be specifically that new person is a better version of yourself. That person is Christ. You were created to be like Jesus. That's exactly what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be moving through these scriptures, revealing this truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, listen to this. Paul says, put on your new nature, your new self, your new created person. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. But if we back up, you know, that reveals the truth of our purpose, our calling, you know, who were we created to be and become. It's like God. But if we back up and read that full part of that text, it says this in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures, eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, Paul says, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You were created and called to live like this new life describes. That's offered in Christ. What Christ offers in Himself is for us to be like Him, to be like Christ, to throw off the old self, to put on the new self, to be not just a better version, but to be transformed and renewed. Paul says this to the Romans and to the Ephesians. The newness that comes, it's not by a strength of ours, by an effort of ours. This newness, this transformation that comes, it comes by way of the Spirit working in our life. And Paul says very specifically, the Spirit works and transforms where? In your mind. In your thought life. The Spirit changes what you think and how you think. So here's what I want all of us to understand today. Your thoughts have the power to change the landscape of your life, not only your life, but the landscape of the lives of those around you. Your thoughts are powerful. And see, I didn't say what kind of change. Because it can be either one of two things, a good change or a bad change. Your thought, you're like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not fully convinced about this, Pastor Nick. Can it really have that kind of effect? See, don't fall into this, I would say, lie that your thoughts are passive. That's what we think. Like, oh, I think what I think, and that's all that I think. Your thought life is active. It can be changed. It can be disciplined. It can be controlled. It's never just being what it is. So if that's our thought, and our thoughts are powerful, it takes being intentional and disciplined with our thought life. So hear this truth again. Your mind is the battlefield. Your mind is where the war is taking place. A good friend of mine gave me a book that's titled The Battlefield of the Mind. It's by Joyce Meyer, right, Terry? But that's what this book talks about, that your mind is the battlefield. And we've been discussing about this thought in the last several weeks, that the fact is what? That you and I are caught up in this cosmic battle, this cosmic war, this spiritual warfare between good and evil. You and I, we're involved here. This is taking place in the unseen, the heavenly places. You and I didn't choose to be in it, but here we are. We're caught up in this battle of good versus evil, of God versus Satan. The war is taking place for your soul, for my soul, for the souls of the world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says this: put on all of God's armor. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. It's kind of what we talked about last week, about being able to stand firm against the impact. Paul says here to put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. There it is, strategies. We've been talking about that too. The strategies are what? Temptation, deception. So that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I'm going to read that three times. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There is spiritual warfare taking place. It is real. The enemy has his schemes and his strategies. We saw this when? We saw this a few weeks ago when we looked at the story of Adam and Eve. His strategies were to deceive and to tempt them. He still uses these same strategies on us. Other strategies of the enemy include what? Having nagging thoughts, having nagging suspicions, doubts, fears, worldly reasoning and theories and philosophies. Like I mentioned, we learned about this last week, that we can withstand all of these attacks, all of these impacts. We can stand strong, stand firm by being what? By being grounded and growing in Christ. Paul's saying the same thing here in Ephesians. Grounded and growing, well, what does that practically mean? Put on God's armor. Put on all of God's armor, he says. Spiritual warfare is real. The battle is real. And where that battle is taking place is where? Right here. Right here. So when Paul says this, to put on the full armor of God, he's not talking about armor that we would think of in the military's army or military's armor. This is spiritual warfare. He says put on this spiritual armor. And he says to do this with this in mind. The battle is in the spiritual realms. So here we go. Get out your thinking caps. Right? We've all heard those. Get out your thinking caps. Humor me. Get out your thinking caps and put them on. I'm just kidding, guys. Don't actually do it. Yeah. You already did. We're going to put on our thinking caps. And as we do that, I want you to do this. I want you to think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. Think about what you think about when you think of your spouse. Think about what you think about when you think of your boss. What do you think about when you think about yourself? Scrolling through social media, other news outlets, your enemies. What do you think about when you think about, or when you think in times of stress, of anxiety, worry, happiness, success? What do you think about when you think about people in different situations in your life? It matters. It matters, well, I would say, with eternal ramifications. It matters. Our thoughts, listen to this, are not passive, they're active. Your mind, examine your thoughts. Examine your mind because they will lead you somewhere. Your thoughts, what you think about, will lead you somewhere. Where are your thoughts taking you is the question. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this. Paul's letter to the Romans again. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature about think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Have you ever been driving? Not that this has ever happened to me, but it has, you know. But have you ever been driving someplace where it's a regular place that you drive? You know this, the route, like the back of your hand. You don't even need to think about it. Have you ever been driving and arrived wherever you were going and think, I don't remember driving at all? You ever done that? Where like, how did I get here? Every morning, you're just kind of, you zone out and you think, that's kind of scary. That's kind of scary, right? I'm glad I'm not alone in that. But you're like, how did I get, I don't remember. I hope there were no cars, coming. And how did I get here? Or another example, have you ever been eating something, let's say, not picking on anyone here, but Taco Bell? Only to be filled with regret later. Whatever it is, Taco Bell, fill in the blank. And then later you're thinking, how did I get here? In that moment, you're thinking, wow, this food is good. But later you're thinking, how did I get here? Paul says to those who are controlled by their sinful nature, their old self, their old person, falling for the strategies of the devil, do what? Those who are controlled by that think, their thoughts think, their mind thinks about sinful things. And then he goes on to say, being controlled by that sinful nature, that old self, if you let it control you, it'll take you somewhere. He says that will lead you to death. Not literal, maybe sometimes, but it will take you certainly to spiritual death. And unfortunately, what happens in many situations is all that happens, and then we arrive at death and think, how did I get here? Where are your thoughts taking you? I'll ask you again. Where are your thoughts taking you? Are your thoughts, is your mind taking you towards death or towards life and peace offered in God, who is life and peace? Paul says, then he goes on to say, that those who are controlled by the Spirit, the new self, the new creation, think about things that please the Spirit. He says, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Now, let me just get real transparent here. And I want to address something. I don't know if this, when I was preparing this, I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be out of place, but it just felt like the right place to say this. I believe the Spirit of God can work through medicine. When we're talking about our thoughts and our minds, and it's a battlefield, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that takes place in our mind. And I believe God can work through medicine. Don't think I'm up here saying it's cut and dry. Okay, control your thoughts. Think about things that please the Spirit. Don't think about sinful things and things that lead to death. Go and just on your own strength, go and you're better. I understand that it's not always this simple when we're talking about mental health, when we're talking about depression, anxiety. It's not just a try harder type thing. I realize that. It's not just think about things of the Spirit, you'll have life and peace and voila, it's all good. You know why I know that? Because I brought a little illustration here. This is my medicine. This is my medicine that I take. It helps me clear my mind so I can think clearly. Does that make sense? Do I believe God heals mental illness of all kinds? Absolutely. Do I think he works through medicine? Absolutely. It's not just simple. I understand that. But I needed to share that because I think we can talk about the things we're talking about and what we just mentioned. I think they both align. I think they go together. Paul says, think on the things that please the Spirit. You know, if we're doing our detective work, we think and ask ourselves, what are the things that please the Spirit? Paul gives us, again, some insight over in Philippians. Now, I want to read, I usually read from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read from that version. Then I want to read the Message translation, and it's pretty good too. But this is what Paul says to the Philippian church in chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Here you go. Fix your thoughts. That word that's used right there is like meditate. Think through. Work on these. Let these things really take root and just work in your mind. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, the Message. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on the things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Paul gives a list. I would say those are the things that please the Spirit of God who is in us and working in us and through us. He says, let your minds think about these things, things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts, meditate, think about these things. So there's the list, right? We think about those things, we're good. Now, this is just what I do, but I was thinking about that list, and I thought, you know, this is what Paul says to fix your thoughts on. So I was curious about the antonyms, the opposites of all that list. And here's the opposites of those: false, dishonest, wrong, impure, ugly, deplorable, inferior, worthy of criticism. Jarrett, you want to put those? Yeah, thank you. There's a side-by-side. You know, I think there's, we could read that list and that we read in the scriptures and think, okay, yeah. But I think it's a lot more powerful to see the opposites, because it's kind of like, you know, when you turn on, if you got like, what do bugs do when you turn on lights? Scatter, yeah. It's like turning on the light and everything scurries. When you see the opposites, it's like exposing, I think. So I want to ask you again, examine your thoughts, examine your minds. I want you to think about what you think about. What do you think about with this list in mind when you think of your spouse, your boss, yourself, scrolling through social media, watching the news, your enemies? What do you think about in times of stress, anxiety, worry, happiness, and success? Which list does your thoughts look more like? It's powerful. There's a battle taking place. And Paul says, your thoughts matter. They will lead you somewhere. See, this is the war up here on the screen. This is the war that's taking place of the Spirit wanting to control our minds versus the enemy, the sinful nature part of us. See these two lists? Jesus says the greatest command is what? Love God and love others as yourself. If our thoughts look like this list, we're not loving God and we're not loving others as ourselves. See, Paul is very clear here. He says, what you think about is powerful because what you think about is what you do. What you think about is what you act on. We've all heard the WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? I'm suggesting another thought. WWJT. What would Jesus think? When Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, the enemy didn't show up and say, here, eat this tree, and it just happened. There was warfare. There was this deception and temptation. But with Adam and Eve, there was a thought. They had a thought. Their mind was thinking. Abusing a spouse, physically, verbally, mentally, emotionally, doesn't just happen. There was a thought. Speaking negatively, gossiping, or lying, it doesn't just happen. There was a thought. Murder doesn't just happen. There was a thought that leads to these actions. If your thought life looks like the list, this one, you know what you will be surrounded by? Death. Spiritual death. And you know what you'll end up asking yourself? How did I get here? So if we believe this, I'm going to make a blanket statement, a couple of them, because they're in Scripture, and I believe that these are true. So if we make these blanket statements here, that every single person, past, present, and future, was and is and will be created, Scripture tells us, in God's own image. That we are all image bearers of God. If we believe that, and if we also believe that God is working in all situations, the Scriptures tell us that as well. If God is working in all situations for the good, what does this mean for our thoughts? See, we believe these statements. I believe all of us probably do believe those statements. Scripture tells us that, but you know what Scripture also tells us? That even the demons believe in Jesus. Spiritual realm, you know, the spiritual battle that's taking place, they're not just fighting someone they don't believe in. Scripture tells us that even the demons believe in Jesus. But if we believe those truths to be true, then we think these thoughts. And if we think these thoughts, we put them into practice, because this is how it works. What we believe influences our thoughts, and what we think influences our actions. See, we get them all mixed up, though. We think, well, I believe this, and or if it's all just about belief or action, you know, one of the two, it's about all of them. What we believe, what we think, and what we do cannot be separated. Paul says that everything, he says there at the close of that Philippians verse, he says, fix your thoughts on these things. And when you do, when you think these things, this is what it will lead to. Putting them into practice. Following my example, Paul says to, in other scriptures says, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. See, Paul's, all this list of here, you know, true, honorable, you know, in our world today, we could say, well, what is true? What is honorable? And so, Christ. Christ defines these. So it's separate from the world in that regard, that Christ determines what is true and honorable. Paul says that we are not just to have a new version of our mind. We are to have the mind of Christ. And how do we know the mind of Christ? How are we to think what Jesus would think? We pray to Jesus. We read the Scriptures. We meet together. All of these things are how we learn and grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. So this morning as we close, we have a song to close with. Yeah, you guys can come on up. And I usually like to end the messages with a challenge. So here's the challenge. I want you to examine your thoughts. Think about what you think about on the daily, okay? This is something always. It speaks to me. You know, if the things I'm actively thinking, again, this isn't passive, this is actively thinking. If they look more like this list, I'm miserable. I don't treat myself right. I don't treat God right. I don't treat other people around me right. It's just a lot of death. So I'm trying to discipline my own mind. And also, don't think I'm saying be naive about everything. Like, oh, just head in the clouds. That's not what this is. This is just having discipline in our minds and having it be renewed and transformed. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to examine your thoughts. Think about what you think about and realize that your thoughts are leading you somewhere. So realize where you are going. Paul says that if you think about these things, it will lead to this. So what are you thinking? What are the things? And where is it leading you? Where are you going? The second thing is to recognize the wrong. This isn't just we want to recognize the wrong, but we actually want to replace it. We actually want to replace it or rediscover what it is that is supposed to be there. This isn't just elimination. That's oftentimes what we hear is like, eliminate from this. Don't do this. Well, let's talk about what we do. That list isn't up there, but you know it. What your thoughts are. Rediscover the replacement. And if you want, it'd be cool to print that out side by side. Stick it in your Bible. Stick it wherever you might see it. That what are your thoughts? See, this is where the enemy is battling, right here. And there's so many times where we're walking around defeated feeling, you know, that feeling of just, oh. Like, well, what are you thinking about? Because our thoughts are what allow us to live victoriously. What we're thinking about, if the things are good, pure, true, honorable, right, and lovely, and admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. So I want to close us in prayer and just invite us to stand together before we sing this song.